here in church to our evening service. We trust the Lord will bless you wherever you're joining us from tonight. And we trust that we know the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that Thou wouldst meet with us as we meet together around Thy Word, as we hear the songs, Lord, as we join in the hymns. And we pray, Father, that the blessing of God will be upon the preaching of Thy Word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, if you have a hymn book there at home, you can turn to 265. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. The hymns you'll hear sung are from previous services in our church. 265, page 283. And trust you'll join in the singing of this great old gospel hymn. Let us unite together in prayer, and after the prayer you'll hear Jessica and Naomi joined with us tonight to minister a couple of pieces in song. Jessica and Naomi are members of our youth fellowship. We're glad to have them with us tonight to minister in song after the prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the purpose of our coming together for the proclamation of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this gospel that changes lives, this gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Father, tonight it is our earnest prayer that as the Word of God goes out, even through this means tonight, that it may reach hearts. And men and women, and Lord, who would listen in, young people who would listen in tonight to thy word. And we pray that thou wilt speak to their hearts. And O God, that thou wilt reveal thyself to them and bring them to a knowledge of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for thy servants who minister in song, that thou wilt give them help and that thou wilt bless them. And O God, we pray as they serve the Lord in this way, that thou wilt encourage them in their own Christian lives. And Father, we do ask of thee tonight for thy blessing, for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon this meeting from start to finish, that thou wilt be glorified. And, O God, that throughout our land tonight there may be the moving of thy Spirit as the gospel goes out from in various ways. Lord, we pray that thou wilt use it for thy glory. Bless our churches and everywhere the gospel is truly preached. Remember our return to church this week. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt enable us in regard to these matters. And we pray that it will be done safely. And we pray that the blessing of God will be upon us in future days. Thank you for the rolling out of the vaccination and all that's happening. Thank you for the reduction in numbers of people getting infections. We thank thee, O God, for your touch upon some who have been in hospital. Let us know others, Lord, who are sorrowing tonight. We pray for comfort and grace for these folk and that thou wilt bless them at this time. Remember our ministers who are laid aside, Reverend Fitzsimons. Thank you for the improvement, even in recent days. Continue thy hand upon him. Remember Dr. Wilson. Remember Reverend Abraham too. Bless these men, we pray, and grant that they may recover soon. Remember those in our own congregation who have illness problems. We pray for thy touch upon those that are hospitalized or have been hospitalized, gone through surgeries, have other issues of health, that thou wilt be with them tonight. Those who are awaiting treatments, that thou wilt be with them, O God, that thou wilt touch them, and Lord, that thou wilt heal them and restore them fully, if it is your will, to wanted health and strength. We pray for our land at this time, O God. We ask for thy deliverance. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst deliver us from this pandemic. Move across our nation, we pray, the nations of the world. Bless the governments of the world. Give them wisdom in dealing with this pandemic. And grant, Lord, that we will continually uphold them in our prayers. And most of all, our God, through all this, that the people of the world, old, middle-aged and young, will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer prayer. We thank you for the years of our denomination too. And thank thee for the 70th anniversary. It's coming up. We pray in these difficult times that thou wilt bless it. As we reflect on what God has done, as we look forward to the future, give us grace to go forward, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Tears to fill me up.
girls, Jessica and Naomi, for that ministry and song accompanied by Heather on the piano. We appreciate that very much indeed. We trust the Lord will bless these young people as they seek to serve the Lord in this way. We do again extend to you all a welcome to our service tonight and trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in this way for the glory of His name. Whatever device you're listening in on tonight, we trust that it will be a blessing to you as you meet with us around the Word of God. In line with our previous announcements, we are planning a return to church this Wednesday evening for our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 p.m. We're continuing our studies in the survey of the New Testament. This week we're looking at Paul's letter to Philemon. We encourage you, if it's safe for you to do so, to meet with us on Wednesday evening. We look forward to seeing you again and to meeting with you around the Word of God at the throne of grace in prayer too. The missionary offering will be on a Wednesday evening for Faith and Action Missions. Some weeks ago we had online a video from our brother Donald Fleming of that work, and so you have opportunity to give. Maybe you've sent in your offerings for it, but if you haven't, you have opportunity to put it in the basket this Wednesday night as you leave the service. All health restrictions apply within the building: social distancing, hand sanitizing, face covering. If you have COVID or are isolating because of it, please do not attend any of the services. On Friday night, the presbytery meeting is on Zoom. Link will be sent out to elders to join in if they can. Next Lord's Day, family worship will be held in the church here. And do remember that. The church doors will be open for approximately 11 a.m. Brethren will be here to help you with seating arrangements. And we trust that you'll be patient as you come and that you will meet with us, if possible, around the Word of God next Lord's Day morning for our family worship service. And how good it will be to be back again in the house of the Lord. The building fund offerings will be next Lord's Day. All loose collections and building fund envelopes go to this. And if you've retained your other offerings for weeks, you can put them in, of course, on Sunday. Then in the evening time for this week, anyway, the service will be online, or for next Sunday night, I should say, service will be online, and I will be the preacher at both services. The soloist in the evening time will be our sister Natasha Atchison. And trust you'll be able to join us in the church or online next Sunday night. Sunday school and Bible class will be commencing on Zoom soon, so you'll have link in, boys and girls, with your friends on Zoom, and also for the Sunday school on those by that means. And we trust you remember that, and we'll get the message out to you as soon as possible. Could I mention also, we had a great meeting on Zoom on Friday night with the young people. We appreciate those who are able to join in. We had upwards, I think, on 30 joined in on Friday night. And Reverend Moffat gave his testimony, a very challenging word through his testimony. We had a good quiz and a good time of fellowship by means of Zoom. The next youth fellowship meeting will be a youth rally organized by our youth council on Facebook. And of course, we'll get you the link for that so that you'll be able to come on to that and watch and join in with that special service. Pray for all affected by the virus and other illnesses at this time in our congregation. There are those who have various illnesses, need our prayers, and trust that you will pray for those going through treatments or waiting for treatments, waiting for procedures or appointments, that the Lord will minister to them. We've heard today of the improvement in Reverend Paul Fitzsimon's condition. Pray for him that the Lord's hand will be upon him, that he will know that ministry from the Lord at this time. And also, Reverend Jeffrey Abraham and Dr. Wilson, who are laid aside, do pray for these brethren that the hand of God will be upon them. The good prayer meetings yesterday on Zoom, organized by our presbytery in the morning and the afternoon. Lots of people gathered by that means to seek the Lord's face. There was a good spirit of prayer as brethren and sisters met together. Prayer is the answer, and let's keep on praying in these days that God will move and that God will answer prayer. We're turning for our Bible reading this evening to the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark. And we'll read it together from the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8. And we're reading together from verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. But whomsoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us seek the Lord's face for his blessing upon us tonight as we turn to his precious word. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come to thee for the closing part of this service. We thank thee for all that has taken place already. We thank thee for thy young servants who have ministered to us in song. And we pray that thou wilt bless that ministry to every heart. And O God, we pray tonight, as we turn to thy word now, that thou wilt enable us and empower us and endue us. And grant that we might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message tonight. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight from the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 27 and 29. The subject tonight is vitally important questions. Vitally important questions. The Bible records in the Gospels the many questions that people asked the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these indicated that they were making a genuine inquiry out of concern for their spiritual well-being. For example, there in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the rich young ruler who came running and kneeled down before the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You think of the questions asked by Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Displayed an ignorance of the truth of the new birth of which Jesus spoke. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus said to the Lord and questioned him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Again, in verse 9 of the same chapter, Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And so there was a darkness in the heart of this man in relation to the spiritual truth of the new birth of which Jesus spoke. But then we have questions by those who sought with craft and guile to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out in his words, to use his answers as a means whereby they could accuse him. In this chapter before us tonight, the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel, we have a whole series of questions, pointed and pertinent questions. These were asked by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to those to whom he spoke. For example, in verse 5, "How many loaves have ye?" Of course, he's asking them concerning the feeding of the 4,000 in this instance. "How many loaves have ye?" Verse 12, "Why doth this generation seek after a sign?" Going on down to verse 17, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" And then, of course, verse 18, "Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember?" Verse 19, "How many baskets of fragments took ye up?" And again, verse 20, "How many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" Verse 21, "How is it ye do not understand?" And so, all of these questions were asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, down at the end of the chapter, verses we've read this evening, verses 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" But tonight I want to focus upon the questions there in verses 27 and 29. Questions that are vitally important. Questions that relate to his own person. And it is to these questions I refer this evening. In verse 27, Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And then in verse 29, he asked the further question, the follow-up question, "But whom say ye that I am?" Whom do men say that I am? But whom say ye that I am? Vitally important questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked. First of all, in relation to the first question, it had to do with the people's opinion. Whom do men say that I am? Of course, people had many opinions about the Lord Jesus Christ in the days when he walked upon the scene of time, during those years of his earthly ministry. And there are many differing opinions about Jesus today as well. And there have been through the generations. Those who have accepted Christ and those who have rejected him. There are three common ideas in that day expressed by people who were saying he was John the Baptist. But some say Elias, verse 28. And others, one of the prophets. People identify Jesus with John the Baptist because of his preaching. John preached at the River Jordan. He was a street preacher. He was an open-air preacher. He preached everywhere that the people were. And the Lord Jesus Christ essentially did the same by the seaside, in the mountainous area, and everywhere where the people congregated together.
Again, some people thought that Jesus was Elias or Elijah because of his praying. Elijah was a great man of prayer. And he had such power in prayer that he could shut up the heavens and it wouldn't rain for years, as he did and is mentioned there in 1 Kings 17. And then in response to his prayers, the windows of heaven would open up and the rain would come down. As is set before us in the final verses of 1 Kings 18. Elijah's prayers had power to call water or fire from heaven. You remember, he called that the Lord would answer by fire upon the sacrifice in 1 Kings 18 as well. Jesus came to this scene of time not only as a preaching man, but as a praying man. On one occasion when he was praying in a certain place, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Lord Jesus Christ was given to prayer. And sometimes he spent a whole night in prayer, and oftentimes he withdrew himself from the multitude in order to get into the place of quietness and solitude that he might meet with his Father in prayer. And so there were those who identified Christ with Elias or Elijah, identified Christ with John the Baptist, but other people identified Christ with one of the prophets. Of course, he was the great prophet, or he is the great prophet. I think it was because of his pathos, because of his heart. When Jesus talked, he spoke as a man had never spoken. The prophets of God were men of great compassion, along with a great comprehension of God. They spoke with that, "Thus saith the Lord," that direct message from heaven. And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke with compassion. You remember, he was moved with compassion toward the multitude. There was love manifested in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the works that he performed. The hymn writer has penned those words, "There is no love like the love of Jesus." Of course, there were others who spoke and said, "He hath a devil. He casteth out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub." And their words indicated that they despised the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, down through the centuries of time, it has been so that people of all nations despise the name and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this: they have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. They blaspheme Him. They treat Him with the utmost disdain and disrespect. Some even say He was the illegitimate son of Mary. And so we have the reviling and the ridiculing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not something that merely happened when he walked upon this earth. But people today still pour forth their vile abuse against the Son of God. They use his name in blasphemy as they scorn the blessed and spotless and crimeless and sinless Son of God. But of course there are those who accept him, who with reverence for his name and who honor his person, and who have received him into their hearts as their Savior and Lord. He has dealt with their sins, and they have been cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb. What is your response to his question tonight? "Whom do men say that I am?" But then he asks the second question: "But whom say ye that I am?" Verse 29. "But whom say ye that I am?" And here is the personal opinion. The question here comes to the individual. It comes down to you and me tonight. Maybe You've been always happy to say, well, this is what so-and-so says Christ is. These are the opinions that are out there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe opinions that are spoken in your family or among your friends or in wider society. In this increasing secular world that is hostile to the message of the gospel. But whom say ye that I am? It's a matter that is personal tonight. It is an inescapable and unavoidable question for you at this moment. As it was for the disciples when put to them by Jesus so long ago. It is a very important question. What we believe about Jesus will be the beginning that will logically lead us to ultimate and life-changing decisions. We cannot be neutral about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no sitting on the fence. He forces us to take a stand about this matter. Will you stand on the Lord's side tonight? Or are you on the side that is against Him? You have to come to some decision about Jesus Christ. We are driven to one of four alternatives about His identity. First of all, Jesus was a legend. He never existed. Jesus was a liar. Secondly, He was lying about whom He claimed to be. Jesus was a lunatic, He was crazy and didn't know what He was doing. Or Jesus is Lord. Which will it be tonight? Is Jesus your Lord? Are you gathered with the crowd that are going headlong to a lost eternity, rejecting Christ, refusing Christ, rebelling against Christ? What is your personal opinion tonight? It is a pressing and pointed question for you this evening. And your answer to this question will determine, will indicate whether you accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It will show where you stand in relation to His person and whether or not He has any place in your heart and life. No doubt there were those in Jesus' day who were totally indifferent to this question. And many today would also display this indifference. Many too were perhaps indecisive in regard to who Jesus Christ really was. They couldn't make up their minds. And without question, many are indecisive today in regard to this matter. But there was one among that company who answered this personal question. Whom do men say that I am? Elias? John the Baptist? Or one of the prophets? But whom say ye that I am? And so we come to the third thought tonight. It is the powerful opinion. And this powerful opinion was expressed by Peter. Because the Bible tells us in verse 29, and Peter answered and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Peter, as we all know, was impetuous, always quick to express his opinion on matters, often outspoken. On some occasions he was rash in the things which he said and did, speaking unadvisedly with his lips. For example, when he said that when all others would deny the Lord and forsake Him, that he would not deny the Lord. Of course, the Lord responded that before the cock would crow thrice, that before the cock would crow, He would deny the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And that is exactly what happened. And when the Lord spoke of His sufferings and death, Peter said in this very chapter, be it far from thee, Lord. And he rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 32, but the Lord rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Verse 33. But here, in this answer that he gave, he spoke powerfully. Climbing the heights of inspiration, he declared, thou art the Christ. In Matthew's Gospel it says, Peter added, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verse 16. What a confession. And when he had said that, the Lord answered in verse 17 of Matthew 16, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This is not something that you have thought up yourself, Peter. But he spoke by divine inspiration. You see, my friends, the Spirit of God had illuminated his heart and he was able to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines into the heart, then that individual sees who Jesus Christ really is. May that light shine into your heart tonight, that you might see the Lord Jesus Christ as he really is, in his glorious person, and that he might become your Lord and your Savior now. Peter passed the test with flying colors. That's what Jesus had been saying. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And here, that's what he'd been trying to get them to understand, that he was not a mere man. He was not just one of the prophets. He was God who came in human flesh. God manifest in flesh. My friends, the birth of Jesus Christ was the most momentous event that had ever occurred. It was God condescending to be born as a human being. The eternal God being born of a woman in order to be the Savior of sinners. And dear friends, that is the most earth-shaking and far-reaching event in the history of the world. How marvelous. How wonderful. Christ coming into this world in human flesh to go to the cross and to die for ungodly men, women, and young people. And Peter saw this truth not by human reason, nor by the instruction and information that was given by others. The light sprang neither from nature nor from education, but from the Father in heaven. God sent that divine illumination, that spiritual enlightenment into the heart of Peter. Saving faith, dear friends, is the gift of God. It's brought about by him as Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for his sake. Have you this saving faith tonight? It's not something that you devise yourself or get by your own effort. It's the gift of God. God gives that gift of saving faith, that you might believe tonight to the saving of your soul. Thou art the Christ, he said. He's referring to the Anointed One, the great prophet, priest, and King of the Church, the true Messiah promised to the Father, the Son of the living God. The people's notion of him was that he was the ghost of a dead man, Elias, or as is mentioned in Matthew, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, or John the Baptist. But they, the disciples, knew and believed him to be the Son of the living God. He is of the same nature with the Father. He is one with the Father. What words were these that fell from Peter's lips there at Caesarea Philippi? What a confession! What conviction he had in these words! What courage he had to speak these words! What a confirmation these words were as to who Jesus Christ really is! And these words, my friend, impact with power to our hearts and to the hearts of many others this very day. Oh, may you see Christ tonight. Oh, may you look to Him in saving faith as the light shines through the pages of Scripture. May you accept Him as your Savior and Lord. May He be revealed to you tonight as to who He really is. I remember many years ago witnessing to a man about his soul, visiting him on many occasions. The conversation always came round to salvation and how he could be saved. He could never see it. He seemed so darkened, and yet he had great interest in the gospel. But one day, as I explained to him from Scripture again as to his need of salvation and as to how he could be saved, a light dawned upon his soul. And that very afternoon, he said to me very clearly, "Mr. Smiley, I see it now." And that afternoon, he bowed the knee and came to Christ and was saved by grace. You see, he saw Christ. The light dawned upon his darkened soul. And tonight, whoever you are, if you're outside of Christ, still in the darkness of your sin, oh, may that glorious light shine in, dispelling the darkness tonight, and bringing you to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Vitally important questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come to you down through the corridors of time, from the lips of Christ through Holy Scripture. May it be a nail in a sure place to your soul tonight. May you come to Christ and be saved. May God bless His Word to your heart tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, now it's caused many to think about their soul and to think about eternity and to come and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and to own Him as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to our closing hymn tonight, 211. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. Fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old yet ever new. It's on page 261 of the hymn book. If you've got a hymn book at home there, you can turn it up and follow and sing with the hymn as it is coming to you from a previous service in our church.
Thank you for listening in to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church tonight. If God has spoken to you through the ministry and song, through the hymns that have been sung, through the reading and preaching of the Word, is our prayer that tonight you will come to Christ, or as a backslider you will return to the Lord. Do feel free to make contact with us by telephone or text. We're happy to speak to you and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. May God bless you and bless all who have been listening in tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we commit the word that has been preached to thee tonight, and we pray that by thy Spirit thou wilt work in hearts, that thou wilt bring souls to a knowledge of Christ as their own and personal Saviour. Don't let this night pass without a soul or souls coming through for Christ. Lord, we ask of thee that thou wouldst cause thy blessing to be upon us, the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.